I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. The Eugene Symphony continues its 50th anniversary celebration this Thursday, January 21st, with a performance that also celebrates the return of Giancarlo Guerrero as conductor, his first return after his tenure as the Eugene Symphony's music director from 2002 to 2009. The program will include Durafle's Requiem and two pieces by Respighi, including Pines of Rome and Fountains of Rome. Giancarlo Guerrero is here with me in the KLCC studios. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Well, how does it feel to be back in Eugene?
I have nothing but fond memories of my time in Eugene, and I couldn't be happier to be back here. But I'm coming to find that it's really the people in this community that made my tenure here special, and that has been so far the best part of this trip.
How do you feel you grew as a conductor and as a person in your time in Eugene?
This was my first music directorship in the United States. At that point, as a young conductor, we barely know how to beat 1, 2, 3, 4, let alone being the musical leader of an organization in a community like Eugene. Having this be my first music directorship kind of gave me a sense that anything is possible. And I've used that very high bar in all of my consequent positions elsewhere because I was given such a freedom to pursue my musical dreams that now I apply that same standards everywhere else I go.
And in the other direction, what do you feel your major contributions were to the growth of the symphony?
I would like to think that I expanded the repertoire here. One of the most important aspects of being a music director is that you really drive the musical taste of a community. You can really have an impact. And because I had the freedom, I never felt any constraints. I could always drive the institution musically and artistically by my musical taste and what I thought was important for this community to experience musically. I never believed that the concert experience was only something that you come and listen. No, it's everything, whether you have a living composer, whether you have an interesting soloist or an interesting new piece. All of these things have to come together to create unforgettable musical experiences. So by doing that, we changed the idea of what the symphony is and hopefully pushed it forward and started a wonderful, beautiful conversation.
And in returning to be a new part of a new conversation, a couple of the pieces that are on Thursday's program are of Respighi. And in speaking to Danail Rachev about these pieces, he mentioned how a conductor really has to bring out the colors of Pines of Rome in particular. So what colors in particular do you want to bring out of it?
More than colors is imagery. When you talk about Pines of Rome, these are actual pines that are still there, many of them very millennial. All you have to do nowadays is go on Google and you can find these. So when Respighi wrote both the Fountains of Rome and the Pines of Rome, they give you a very specific imagery. So in the hands of an expert orchestrator like Respighi, who was not afraid of using every available instrument to him, including the kitchen sink, it's incredibly remarkable. Music is intended to tell a story. One of the reasons I also chose this music is to showcase the virtuosity of this orchestra.
And how does Durafle's Requiem complement Respighi's music in this program?
Requiem masses, particularly in the 19th century, were intended to send a very grim and dark message and almost a warning of sorts that if you did not follow the rules, you know where you're going. But with Durafle, it is music that is much more comforting. We're not thinking about our loved one who's no longer here. We're thinking about how do we make those of us here, the family members, the friends, how do we make them come to terms with this new reality. And the music from beginning to end provides just that beautiful sense of acceptance. And the beautiful, one of the most beautiful endings I can think of in classical music, which in Paradisium, which is in paradise, which at that moment, all of us can imagine where our loved one has gone. And we can always hope that that's where they end up and that they are truly are in a better place. So you have the fireworks with Respighi, but then you have one of the best things that music can do, which is provide comfort.
It
Durafleet was famous for perfectionism in his compositions, among other things. Is that an issue that you find in your own life, for better or worse?
Yeah, we strive for perfection. But I truly believe that what makes that performance unique is that sense of adventure. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. And Durafleet, as you correctly stated, was such a perfectionist that he never published much anything because he was really never happy with his own work. I mean, the fact that the Requiem itself was published really took a lot of people to push him to finally do it. You can almost make the case that Durafleet is a one-hit wonder. But my God, what a one-hit. I mean, this piece to me is one of the great testaments of choral orchestral music that there is.
There is a sense of adventurousness in your own work, as far as I'm concerned, too, reaching out from many things in the new music world, for which you brought home a Grammy in 2011, among other things, to doing Bela Fleck's banjo concerto in recent times. How do those contribute to your overall sense of what you bring back to a performance like this?
I love music of every genre. And one of the great joys of living in a city that proudly calls itself Music City is the fact that every imaginable American music, jazz, rock and roll, country music, gospel, jingles, in my case, classical music, is being performed, recorded, commissioned, published in Nashville within blocks of where I am. That has been the best part of my tenure there, to be in a city that so proudly showcases its hometown talent. You also have to remember that many of these great artists, I mean, Amy Grant and Vince Gill, to give an example, even Taylor Swift to a degree, are supporters of the symphony because they truly believe that what makes Nashville unique is its musical richness. And they understand that one of the big ingredients of becoming a great city is having a world-class orchestra.
And what would you like to see for the Eugene Symphony in the next 50 years?
The Eugene Symphony has set a standard of what a small orchestra can truly do. I never felt that anybody ever said, oh, no, this is as far as we want to go. No, if anything, it was like, no, we expect you to think big. And because of that, it sets a type of environment that is so rich for developing. I see that this orchestra continues to grow. The improvements have been incredible. And the only way you can do that is by hard work. And not only from the musicians themselves, but by the community. This is an orchestra that needs nurturing. The music needs audience members. They need visionary board members. They need generous donors. It is imperative. Without those things, it can work. But here in Eugene, it always seems to work. This community understands how much of the fabric of this city the symphony is. And I promise you that many of these people cannot imagine Eugene without its wonderful symphony. And for me to have been a part of that history, it's a great honor. And I can tell you right now, I know that this is not going to be the last time I come here. I have way too many experiences and way too many great memories for me to say that this is it.
Well, thank you for all that you have brought to the symphony over the years and for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's a privilege.
Giancarlo Guerrero, who returns to conduct the Eugene Symphony with the Eugene Symphony Chorus this Thursday evening, January 21st at 8 p.m. with a program that includes Respighi's Pines of Rome and Fountains of Rome, as well as Durafleet's Requiem. For tickets and more information, eugenesymphony.org. For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.